Gene Melter.
Thank you, Kirk. When I first saw the theme on the website, I thought of telling a story of where I'd done something wrong or stupid and then had to face the consequences. And then I remembered that I had a story that fulfilled the theme literally about music. So this is that story. Several years ago, my husband gave me piano lessons for an anniversary present. And we had a piano, and I could still remember music after decades away from music lessons. I had taken them as a child, but still remember. And I also had been in choirs. So I could sort of dink around. But you know, you don't really make any progress teaching yourself without that pressure of the weekly lessons. And very few of us have the self-discipline to practice in that tedious manner necessary to really perfect a piece. So Matt was probably tired of listening to the way I played, and so he got me these lessons. And I'm going to call my teacher Johan. That is not his real name. Johan is an excellent musician, and he's very strict and, you might say, critical. So I was very motivated to practice between my lessons just to avoid his sarcasm. So he might say something like, why don't you play it again and this time make it sound like music? Well, Johan had many students, and most of them were between the ages of 8 and 18, but there were a handful of adults, and he believed it was critical to a musician's education to play in recitals, and he scheduled them frequently. There were several each year. For my first recital, I played two very simple, slow, and short pieces. And the slowness really helped me because I just refused to budge from one chord until I had really felt comfortable, and then moved on to the next one. And these tunes were obscure, so I knew the audience wouldn't know how they were supposed to sound, and that gave me a lot of confidence because it's very nerve-wracking playing in a recital, and adults really shouldn't do it. We don't have the right makeup. Like, children don't know what good music sounds like. I think that's like that's the basic notion here. They can believe they're playing well when they aren't, because they haven't been spending decades listening to actually good musicians play. And I'd listened to thousands of hours of music, and I knew I didn't sound anything like a professional musician. So I struggled through that first recital and didn't embarrass myself too badly. For the second recital, I somehow got assigned Mozart's Sonatina No. 1 in C major. And this is a 7-page piece, very complicated, and some parts of it are very fast. And I really had no business playing this in public. And I don't know why my teacher assigned this to me, maybe to give himself kind of a little thrill. There'd be a little element of suspense in the recital. Well, I spent weeks practicing. I practiced daily. I practiced at least an hour a day, an hour or two a day maybe. So ignoring my family while tormenting them with the same time. Well, a few weeks before the recital, I found myself growing really anxious. I in general have an anxiety problem, but this was really, really intense. And I tried to think of a way to kind of cope with the situation. Well, Johan had us make a little speeches before we played our pieces at these recitals. He wanted us to develop poise. So you had to introduce yourself and your piece before sitting down to play. These recitals, by the way, took place in a church that had two long columns of wooden high-back pews and then a grand piano in front. And I'd already done one, right? So I could picture the situation. And a few days before the recital, it occurred to me that I was more comfortable doing public speaking than public piano playing. And so maybe I could really make something of the speech part of my performance. And I would make it interesting and maybe even funny and win the audience over. And when I saw the look of, you know, kind of gratitude and encouragement in their faces, I would be filled with confidence. And I would sit down and play beautifully. So I started doing some research, and did you know that Mozart had a sister, and she was very talented. But their father did not invest the time into her career that he did Mozart, so she really never got the fame and fortune she deserved. And this is a very interesting subject, and I worked on the speech, and it got longer and longer, all about Mozart's sister, and then other members of the family, too, and kind of the life and times of the Mozarts in Austria. So I practiced, and some people might have thought that maybe I should have spent a little more time on my piece, because after I was preparing for a piano recital. But I grew just more and more confident. This was a great speech filled with valuable information and very inspiring for the young women in the audience. So the day of the recital arrived. Now, I didn't require my children to go, so all the children in the recital required, of course, their parents and grandparents and siblings to. But I didn't do that to my children. I only brought my husband. And one of the reasons was because I needed him to turn the pages. Now, he doesn't know how to read music, but we had worked out a system of nodding. I'd nod a few bars before the end of the page, 7 pages, and then he would know to turn. So I brought him along. So we arrived at the recital. The place was packed. We're given a program, and we get our seats, and I look, and I'm number 19 out of 30 musicians. This is going to be quite a long recital, and 19's not a good position for me because that's too much time for me to get more and more nervous, but there's really nothing I could do about it. The program's been printed, and Johann has, you know, made this decision. So I just bided my time, and I was pretty excited about the speech, but at the same time, I was very nervous about the playing. My heart was beating harder and harder as we worked our way down the program. So it was a combination of kind of non-entertainment, and then I'm filled with anxiety. I don't know if you've ever been to a recital, but it's not exactly entertaining. So listening to 30, like 30 good musicians play a variety of classical pieces might be delightful if you like classical music. But listening, what it amounts to is about 25 people playing classical music badly, and 5 people playing it sort of well, and then the teacher sitting down at the end playing beautifully, putting us all to shame, but inspiring us to go home and practice. So we're suffering through 18 musicians, and then it's my turn, and now my heart is beating so hard, it's kind of bashing against my rib cage, and I can hardly breathe, but I kind of struggle to my feet and make my way out of the pew, and I've got my music book in hand, and then I remember that I'm going to give this great speech, and this is going to be great. So Matt goes and stands behind the piano, and I stand in front of the piano, and I say, "Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jean Melter, and I'm going to be playing for you Mozart's Sonatina No. 1 in C major. But first, I'd like to share with you a little bit about Mozart's life and times, and especially his sister. Did you know that Mozart," and I go on, and I'm kind of focusing on getting all my factoids right, and I'm kind of getting into it. And then I kind of open my eyes and focus on the audience a little bit, and I can see their faces clearly because it's daylight. What I see is not good. So some people have a look of horror on their faces. They're appalled. Like, oh my God, we have to sit and listen to a speech? We've been here an hour and a half. We've got 10 people to go, and we're listening to a speech? They're angry. And then other people are kind of dazed. They've got the glazed eyes, and they just look kind of depressed. And then still other people are taking a little nap. And so I'm just mortified. And some part of me knows that I said, just shut up. Just shut up. I could just wrap it up by saying, well, that's enough about Mozart and his family. Let's hear some music. But I don't. Why? Because I'm now terrified to sit down and play. The audience hates me. And my nervous system is shattered. There's no way I can play. So I just keep talking. I know so much. I keep talking until every member of the Mozart family is dead. It's decades. Decades. I talk. And finally, I just have nothing. There's nothing more I can think of to say. And people are, now they look truly angry. They hate me. And I have to sit down at that piano. So I turn, and I'm in complete silence. I sit down. There's no applause after my speech. I sit down and I open my music. And I glance over at my husband. He's looking very, very tense. And there's no smile of encouragement or anything. And I sit there and I watch my hands reach out for the keys. And they're completely disembodied. I have no relationship to my hands at all. And I look at the music and it's just black marks that mean nothing. They mean nothing to me. And then I see my hands, they're starting to make some sound, and it's ba 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 ba. It's a familiar tune. And for a while I just sort of trust the hands. They seem to know what they're doing. But then I start kind of trying to take control of the situation. I know I'm supposed to read that music, I'm supposed to play that stuff. And I kind of zoom in at the bottom of page one, and then it's just a train wreck. My hands are now completely confused. And I nod, thinking that maybe the next page will go better for some reason. So the page, and now we've got kind of a new movement. It's a new type of thing, but it's totally unfamiliar to me. I don't know what I'm seeing, and my hands keep moving. And now there's the melody, the tempo, nothing is right. The right hand and the left hand aren't in sync. And then my foot is completely out of my control. I'm just sort of pounding the pedal, and sometimes it just arbitrarily rests there, so that the notes all just mush together. And I struggle on. There's another movement and then another movement. And I think I stayed there because I couldn't think straight. I couldn't think clearly. Like I'm a person with free will, and I can get up and I can walk away, go back to my seat, say thank you. Maybe it was fear of Johann, who would be appalled if someone got up in the middle of the song. But I just stayed there kind of frozen, watching my hands do something crazy on the keys. And until finally we came to the final chord, and it was just mercifully over. And I closed my piece, and I stood up, and I bowed, and I walked back to my seat, not daring to make any eye contact. And I sat down, and a few people in the audience, adults, turned around and looked at me. Complete sympathy, just sympathy, radiating sympathy, pity. And I was so embarrassed, but I thought, at least they've forgiven me for the speech. Thank you.